At its most basic level, Jeff, I realized that just because you're a really good professional doesn't mean you're a very good interviewer. It was a really simple aha. But I realized that specifically in the engineering domain that I had a lot of folks that were amazing at software development, but not really skilled at how to select people and interview.
Thank you for tuning in to Growing Your Business with People, a podcast dedicated to CEOs and other business leaders who are looking to grow their business with their biggest and most important investment, people. Here's your host, Jeff Lackey.
Today, I am pleased to have Mo Bande. He is the CEO of Carrot. He's a veteran of Microsoft, but most importantly, he's not a TA guy, right? He doesn't come from 20, 30 years of talent acquisition. He comes to us as a business leader who decided and understood that he saw a problem within tech hiring and he wanted to solve it. So I wanted to talk to him today about hiring in tech and generative AI and global hiring of technologists. So thank you very much and welcome to the show, Mo.
Jeff, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
That's great. So we're really excited. We've had you on the docket here for a few weeks, and we're so excited our schedule's lined up to be able to pull this off. So what I'd like to do is begin with this. You know, folks might may or may not know who you are. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to understand and realize, and more importantly, appreciate how important it was to grow your business with people.
Yeah, so I am the co-founder and CEO of Carrot. Carrot's the world's largest interviewing company. I can share more in a bit on what Carrot does, but I'll share some stories on how we got to starting the business, which is, look, I really realized in my career journey that people are, you know, by far the number one asset. I think everyone says it, but it's so true that people are what make a business work through and through. And, you know, ever since I started my career, my first job, I worked at my professor's startup. I was a engineer there for them, but they said, hey, you really seem to like this people thing. So they gave me a shot and I became the interim head of recruiting there for a little bit while coding as well, through to having my first company, which was a magazine business of all things. So I started a magazine called Topic, and I had to, you know, recruit lots of people, over 100 to come work for that enterprise. I was in my early to mid 20s at the time. And I learned a lot then about the do's and don'ts of building culture and hiring and just how critical it is. You know, that journey ultimately got me into technology where I was at Microsoft. And my last kind of role there is I was leading, you know, global strategy, product teams, business teams at Xbox as a general manager there. And I just squarely ran into the problem that Carrot is designed to solve. You know, for a company like Microsoft, and frankly, most companies in the world that are now digitizing, software engineering is kind of a lifeblood of how you run and operate your business. And I just noticed that there was just so many issues with how we selected which software engineers to hire and how we ran our interviewing processes. At its most basic level, Jeff, I realized that just because you're a really good professional doesn't mean you're a very good interviewer. It was a really simple aha. But I realized that specifically in the engineering domain that I had a lot of folks that were amazing at software development, but not really skilled at how to select people and interview. And so that was the genesis of, you know, having the inspiration to say, okay, I'm going to leave Microsoft, start what effectively would become my second company, and the journey of being an entrepreneur again and kind of taking us to where we are today. But it was a very visceral problem that to hit my business goals as a product leader at Microsoft, I ultimately needed talent. And yet I was handicapped in my ability to go hire that talent by the limitations of my own hiring and interviewing process.
Wow. Yeah. That's a powerful statement right there. Your own interviewing and hiring process at Microsoft, which is you know specifically one of the largest employers of tech talent in the world, right?
Yes.
And you were being hamstrung within that organization. I can't even imagine what a mid-size, you know, a mid or smaller sized organization must feel like if they're trying to grow their tech talent, right?
I had an amazing run at Microsoft, and I love that company. But I would tell you this, that whether it's Microsoft or especially, as you just said, for a small to mid-sized company CEO, you know, you're in the business of doing your business. The business of selecting talent and hiring talent and interviewing talent is unto itself its own expertise, its own business. And so I think figuring that distinction out, that business leaders run a business, people are a critical input, but all the processes that go into running a great candidate experience and selecting the right folks, like this is, and you can't outsource that. I think I run into business leaders who are like, well, isn't that my recruiting leader's job? Or isn't that my HR leader's job? And I just think that's a huge no-no, right? Because at the end of the day, your entire business results and your P&L are dependent on your people. And so even as a CEO or as a business leader, you got to be under the hood and know how your processes work and get help where you need it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
What if you could have an up-to-the-minute dashboard that showed you exactly how to improve candidate experience from first career site visit to fully onboarded new hire? With Surveil, you can.
This podcast is brought to you by Surveil's Candidate Experience Management Platform. In my role at CVS, I used Surveil, and it showed my team unprecedented insights into how our people, processes, and technology were positively and negatively affecting candidate experience. It gave us a roadmap for delighting candidates, boosting employer brand, and improving hiring outcomes.
Visit Surveil.com today for more information. And while you're there, download our free white paper, The Data-Driven Candidate Experience Maturity Model. Check out top HR product winner Surveil and download your free white paper at Surveil.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Paradox AI, also known as Olivia, recruiting's most advanced AI assistant. I used Paradox at my previous organization, and their team helped us create a candidate concierge experience that ensured a fast hiring process that still felt very human. We literally hired hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom were critical healthcare workers needed during the pandemic. She would let them know we had an interview or offer waiting and would help them navigate onboarding processes. Olivia made the experience easy and fast, two essential ingredients in recruiting great people. It's not just me. Organizations like McDonald's, General Motors, Unilever, and L'Oreal use this technology to create engaging and fast candidate experiences. Go to paradox.ai to learn more about the amazing things Paradox and Olivia can do for you. One of the things that you and I talked about was the fact that Carrot really pioneered the interviewing cloud and now is the largest interviewing platform in the world. So help us understand, you know, how you went from being, working in Xbox, leading Xbox for Microsoft, you know, to all of a sudden you're running this, you know, interviewing platform, to your point, that really helps people to take control of their ability to select great people. One of the things I understand is it's kind of silly is that, you know, they say that, and I think you put it well, is that just because you're going to be great at the job doesn't mean you're a great interviewer. And just because you do a good job doesn't mean that you will interview and select well, right? Right. Those two things aren't related to each other.
That's right. Yeah.
So maybe help us unpack that.
Yeah. I'll share kind of maybe because for the business folks out there, just the inspiration that got me and my co-founder to the idea and then how we've expanded our vision since. So, you know, I think after experiencing that at Microsoft, my co-founder, Jeff, was actually Bill and Melinda Gates' chief of staff at the Gates Foundation, had also worked at a startup in China that went public. So he had a fair amount of exposure, just like me, to different types of talent, and also came to a similar conclusion that talent is the lifeblood of any business. We put our heads together and said, someone's got to make interviewing a job. That was like, you know, if we had all met 8 years ago, that would have been the idea on a piece of paper. To get this party started. And if you look at kind of what Carrot has become, you know, that idea of professionalizing the interview and the interviewer was at its core, you know. So at a high level, what we've built is a global network of software engineers who we have trained with our tools, our software, certifications to be effectively professional interviewers. And then companies now ranging in from the largest companies of the world, like a Walmart or Bank of America or Citi, to a number of mid-sized companies, they will leverage our network of interviewers and our subject matter expertise in how to interview to effectively vet their candidates for them. In the last year, we've really expanded to now become an end-to-end solution that can go effectively from resume to hire. And so when a resume or an applicant comes in, today was actually an exciting day. We launched a new product called Carrot Qualify, which is effectively like an online quiz. It's a 15-question multiple choice quiz that candidates can quickly answer. And it gives us a sense of, are you qualified to even interview? Gives many more folks a shot. It's meant to be a replacement of the resume screen. Resume screens can be really biased. It's also meant to replace kind of coding tests and take-home work samples where, you know, I think for business folks listening, you know, giving candidates a many hours long asynchronous impersonal test is just a way to have a very leaky funnel. So we kind of came up with a much simpler solution at the top of the funnel. When folks pass that, they can then come through a round of Carrot interviews conducted by our, what we call interview engineers. And then the final part of the stool that we've built is a whole set of benchmarking and insights. You know, we've now done well over 300,000 interviews. And so a lot of where companies of all sizes leverage Carrot is to help benchmark their quality, benchmark their processes. You know, hey, I'm a mid-sized company CEO. What kind of engineers do I need? Am I getting good folks? How much should I be paying them? Is my process working? We can actually answer a lot of those questions. And so the way to think about Carrot is we started with this inspiration of a business problem, created the prototype for making interviewing as a job, which led to the interviewing cloud. But, you know, as of today, you know, we're really an end-to-end solution that can go from, you know, the time someone applies to the time a company decides to say, hey, yes, Jeff, hey, Mo, you should be hired.
There's two things that I really have enjoyed about what you just said here. First of all, is the talked about the leaky funnel.
Yeah.
And the role bias plays. Like, and a lot of leaders on the phone might hear bias and think diversity and think, yeah, well, this is the right thing for me to do because I don't want to be biased against people. But I'm going to challenge you as a leader to actually put that idea aside and put it on its head. Because technically what you're doing whenever you have bias is you are ignoring some of your best talent and letting in potentially some of the least favorite talent, right? Yeah. Because of things that are coming into your brain that are creating a filter that is incorrect. It's not aligned with what the predictive future is going to be like. And so that is huge. And I love the fact that you're reducing that by this quiz that gets people away from the resume because, you know, who wants to read a 10-page resume? But doggone it, if somebody has 10 pages of a resume and they have that deep and good of experience, you know, why shouldn't we be able to get access to the things that are relevant through a simple set of questions and quizzes instead of having recruiters who are like, I don't have time to look at 15 pages or 10 pages, you know, and they go on to the next person, right?
Jeff, I think it's the difference between, as you know, as a CEO, if you're hiring, you want folks to show you, not tell you, you know, there's a difference. Right. And I think with resume screens, especially, you know, there's a lot of AI tools and things that are only as good as the models that they've trained on and
right,
the data that they've been exposed to. And so, yes, you are reinforcing actual discrimination and bias. But actually, I love your point that at the end of the day, for a CEO listening, like, it's all about getting the best talent you can, isn't it? Right? Because this whole chat started with, if people are the lifeblood of the business, and if you're a P&L owner, and that's what you got to do, then you got to look at your process to actually just ask a basic question, which is, am I getting the best people? Which means you got to give many more people a shot. And the way you give them a shot has to be standards and, you know, work sample based versus, you know, hey, what did Mo or Jeff put on their resume? And did we have all the right keywords and did we say the right things? You know, that's a recipe for, you know, just hiring folks that, you know, may be able to sell themselves, but not produce the business results you want.
Well, and as a business leader, you know that great people beget great people, right? So it's a virtuous cycle that the more good top talent that you get into the organization, it's like a magnet those other people see that talent and they're like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Not just because of the cool things the company's doing, which I'm bought into, but because it's reinforced by the fact that I see this person, that person, this other person who I've met and I'm blown away by. I couldn't wait to be a part of that team. Yeah, that's exciting.
I couldn't agree more, Jeff. One of our first ever engagement as a company was with a company with Intuit, you know, which is the tax software company. And they actually came to us saying, hey, we want to get a lot more women. I mean, Intuit's just such an amazing company and a very forward-thinking business. But they wanted to get a lot more women into their software engineering workforce and just realized that they didn't have enough women in their engineering workforce to do those interviews, right? Back to people wanting to be. And so that is something where Carrot helped them and said, okay, great. Like, let's go help you increase the diversity of your slate. And so what I like about Jeff, what you're saying is for business leaders who are listening, thinking about who's in your hiring process and being representative to candidates actually will draw talent in. You don't just put whoever's available to do the interview at 12 on the interview. You actually have to think about, well, which folks are like great brand ambassadors for my business and for my company? Who really represents the ethos? Whether you're running a hotel, a tech company, an auto body shop. I don't care what, a business is a business. And, you know, you got to figure out as a CEO, like who represents your brand really well and make sure that they are coached, trained. And that one of the things I've learned just in terms of hiring people to come work at Carrot is I'm always seeking feedback from candidates on what they thought about my own interview process and our own thing. I would tell a CEO, don't just go to Glassdoor and try to read that, like actually build it into your process where you were getting feedback from your candidates on like, hey, here's what I think about your company. Because honestly, even if those candidates don't join your business, they're all future customers. They're all future brand advocates. And so we try to lead with this at Carrot, but I think if you step back and forget Carrot for a moment, just at a step back, every candidate is your customer. And so I think if you treat candidates like customers, there's a level of professional empathy and engagement that a CEO should demand from their company. That's just something I wanted to share with Jeff.
That's powerful stuff, because I think one of the running themes that we have on our show here is that if you have your people's back, your employees, colleagues back as a leader, then they can have your customers back, right?
That's right.
One of the things, actually, you talked both into it, and you brought up the concept of coaching. And one of my favorite books is The Trillion Dollar Coach, where it talks about Bill Campbell and leading into it, as well as working as a coach to many CEOs in Silicon Valley. And I tell you, it's probably one of the few business books that I actually felt inspired after I got done reading it. And the only sadness was I never got to meet Bill himself, you know? So, yeah.
That's awesome. So. That's a good a book selection. And Jeff, it was interesting at our company meeting last week, we actually had our first ever customer from Intuit come and speak to us all about, he was literally customer number one. His name's Rick. What an amazing guy. And he came and spoke to us about not just our product, but actually the hallmarks of how you build a business, right? It's about relationships. It's about building that trust. It's about accelerating time to trust. And so we actually spent time with our company talking about what is it that you build in your product and your process and your engagement model to accelerate that time to trust. And once you get that flywheel going, it's very powerful. But just on the Intuit train, that was very motivating to literally hear the first guy that cut me a check to get this business off the ground. Customer for number one, right? Talking to my company, and they're still a customer today, and it's something I'm very proud of, but we've learned a lot. So, yeah.
Hello, listeners. As a senior business leader, you're probably struggling with scaling infrastructure like succession, engagement of people, retention, hiring, and even change management. FutureSolve is an HR advisory firm founded with some of the most well-known CHROs in the country. We specialize in helping medium-sized companies and small businesses with their HR strategy. We do this using a blended service of strategy and innovative AI technologies to make an impact on the bottom line.
This podcast is brought to you by 7-Step. A leading global workforce solutions provider that offers recruitment process outsourcing, MSP services to manage the flexible workforce, including suppliers and contractors, and total talent solutions for managing the entire permanent and flexible workforce supply.
Their people are great, and so is their technology, particularly their Syveo Insights data and intelligence platform. It's really cutting edge, not only in how it brings your talent data together, but in how it draws deep, detailed, predictive intelligence. It's really like a crystal ball for your talent data. I used 7-Step at my previous two organizations, and their team helped us to launch a full-service RPO to staff healthcare workers, customer service reps, IT professionals, data science and engineering, digital design teams, along with aerospace engineers and manufacturing workers. Their talent analytics put data at my fingertips, which allowed me to see around corners and strategically plan for frequent and volatile market changes, including a global pandemic where we had to hire literally hundreds of thousands of people. Their deep knowledge and exceptional integrity allowed me to rely on them as a trusted partner across multiple lines of business. Go to 7steprpo.com to learn more about the powerful things 7-Step can do for you.
Let's talk about hiring tech talent for just a moment. Okay,
sure.
So obviously you were a business leader. You had to hire your own tech talent. What's the number one problem that whenever you built this business, Carrot, that you said, I need to solve this, right? Because I had this problem and I need to break the back of this problem. We talked a little bit about selection and what do you think is that problem still relevant today? Is that still the same problem that tech leaders are having?
Yeah, the problem is relevant because look, there's a multi-decade shortage of engineers in the market. There's literally just not enough engineers to code, let alone engineers to interview other engineers. There's just not. Right. So I think the core problem we solve of why are your engineers who may not even be skilled in doing interviews, doing tons and tons of interviews, why not have them be focused on coding and leverage, you know, a partner like Carrot to do one part of your process? You know, we don't do the entire part, but, you know, your teams will still interview and focus on cultural fit, behavioral skills, you know, maybe last mile technical skills that are really important for the job. But, you know, if that was the original thesis, which is your engineers are busy, you don't, you know, there's a shortage of talent. And paired with that, the engineers that you have probably aren't trained for 50 hours on end and constantly monitored or powered by software or questions that have gone through an IO psychometrician to figure out their bias, like all the things that Carrot does, right, that give you a professional grade hiring experience. And I do think on the other flip side, that is what candidates demand and should demand in a market that is, you know, so favored towards candidates because there's just not enough talent. They also expect a process, you know, 60% of our candidates, Jeff, interview on Saturdays and Sundays. That's when candidates expect to interview. They don't expect to take time out of their busy schedule to meet when your people can interview them. They expect you to interview them when they have time, right?
Yes.
So that's just one simple example of, you know, where the problem we solve. But I think, you know, this multi-decade shortage of engineers is, you know, it's not going away anytime soon. And so that is at its core what we exist to solve.
That's why I always wondered about the typical, you know, I never believed in the typical time frame for a recruiter, you know, like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 doesn't work. It'd be like having a realtor working Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. They would go bankrupt. Right. If they did it right there.
Well, and this is where recruiters, you know, think of our business model as we're effectively a partner to recruiting. Right. So we do parts of the job that recruiting will not typically do, in-depth hour-long technical assessment interviews, right, where they're working through a coding question with somebody. But, you know, where we come in is an augment to that recruiting function so that, you know, when they are working on a Saturday or when they have a candidate that wants to interview at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, that someone's there to interview them. And so that's kind of, Jeff, the problem we solve and what we've seen.
Now, for a number of years, we've been globalizing our tech talent, right? We've been hosting in tech talent and creating both a labor arbitrage in terms of the cost, as well as trying to create an expanded talent pool, right? Whenever there's difficult to find talent pools. Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of the global front of tech hiring and what does that look like for you?
Yeah, we actually just published a report on the top 20 cities in the world by their quality of tech talent. Because, you know, again, if you think about our business, we're interviewing for, like I say, everyone, everywhere, all the time. And so of those 20 cities, six were actually in India. And so India is just a booming market. You know, historically, companies went to that market for costs. But I think increasingly, every company is going there for talent. Quality of talent. I mean, that country has over 5 million software engineers. And so that is one just global destination with both a concentration of talent. But, you know, India, as you're aware, Jeff, given all the experience you have, you know, has its own dynamics in how to hire and their processes. So you can't just, as a business leader, show up in India, right? But that is, you know, one market of what we've seen. I think another emerging one that we're seeing a lot of with our clients is Mexico. Interesting. I think, you know, with the time zone differences with India, I'm finding that product teams or business leaders that want to build versions of their application for India, it makes sense to have developers in India. But if what you're really trying to do is just drive feature development for a website that's selling goods in America, I'm making this up, you know, having a location for your engineers that's actually closer to time zone, but more cost effective relative to quality. I've seen a really big push, frankly, in the last 9 months of our customers really pushing to Mexico. And then there's other areas, of course, of LATAM. Argentina has a high concentration of talent as well. Of course, I think, you know, Eastern Europe has traditionally been also a great center. I think, you know, certainly there's been some impact from the ongoing war there. But, you know, certainly the pursuit of engineering talent, especially in this post-COVID digital world, is very much a global consideration. And I think the other thing to think about is, even as a CEO, if your talent's all in San Francisco or Boston or Seattle, you should assume that they can get at any time recruited by a global company and live anywhere, right? And so I think, just like company can go to India or Mexico or wherever, companies from there and companies from everywhere are saying, okay, we'll come to Boston, we'll come to parts of New York, wherever that is. And so I just think the landscape of talent and the way to think about how to win talent is every engineer can work anywhere for anybody. And I think that mindset really helps business leaders know, just frankly, figure out their value proposition of what dimensions they compete on. You know, not all of us, obviously, it's impossible to compete with a Google or a Facebook on salary all the time, right? So I think you've got to also figure out, as a CEO, like, what is the unique dimension of your business, whether it's your purpose, business ownership, stock equity, responsibility, working hours, location, benefits, whatever that is, right? I just listed off eight, but I do think every CEO out there, like, listening to this, you got to think about, what's the, you know, top two things that you compete on to not just attract, but retain the best.
No, that's great stuff. You made a great point in here. One of the things we talked about earlier is that people is your number one asset. And I would argue that within the asset category, they are a specific type of asset. They're an investment, right? So the investment category, the investment of that would be that you are growing. But what's the other thing when you do an investment? What is the number one thing that you hear all the time? Diversification, right? And as you talk about the global economy, really what you're talking about is creating a diversification strategy across multiple regions that allows you to maximize your investment, which is people, right, within the tech town. So like you said, you don't want to stick them all in San Fran, right? Yeah. You need to have a mix of a few different geographies to whatever ability you have to diversify. And the more diversified you become, the more, you know, sure, you may have some challenges, you know, in terms of working across time zones and cultures, but the benefits of it, if you can find ways to overcome that, will be really phenomenal. I hear a lot about nearshore with the Mexico / LATAM, you know, as opposed to the time zone differences for India. And, you know, and different people are approaching those different ways. And I'm really glad that you were able to talk about any engineer anywhere working for anybody. That's really the reality. They're not going to be staying with you just because you're in San Fran, right?
Yeah, you also have to just think about the fundamentals of the job, right, Jeff? It's different than, a job that is physically, like literally tied to, I have to be at my desk in, I don't know if your company's in Boston or New York, you know, okay. this is truly digital work. And so I think it's just a helpful framework, I think, for business leaders to know what they're competing with.
One of the pivots I wanted to go to before we finish up is going to the topic that everybody's talk about, generative AI, Gen AI, right? And sure. And what does this mean for recruiting? I've been talking about artificial intelligence for nearly a decade. I've been before anybody else knew how to spell AI, right? I've been talking about this stuff and exploring and experimenting with it to some extent. We certainly have gone very far, very fast in the past, 12 months or so. We've had a lot of breakthroughs and new launches that are making things more what I call tangible. I think they were in existence before. I know they were in existence before, but all of a sudden they're accessible by almost anybody, right? You go on a ChatGPT and all of a sudden you're doing it. You can go on a Microsoft, you can access their Bing. You can go almost anywhere and access some form of generative AI. But a lot of people are talking about, what does this mean for recruiting, right? How does this play out and how does this augment and help make recruiting better? And are there any things that we really need to be concerned about? And of course, we're going to wrap this up in a matter of minutes, this whole discussion, that could last about 6 or 7 years, I'm sure. So give us some of your thoughts, Mo, on generative AI and recruiting.
So I think it's a really exciting time for just, what AI can do. And we have to be thoughtful and measured, but I'd say at a high level, I do have excitement around it. I think you've got to break this conversation or problem up into two different things. There's companies that come to us wanting to hire AI, and I'm putting in air quotes, engineers, which is a very evolving landscape, and how to think about going and hiring an AI engineer. What does that involve? How many are there? What do you interview them on? What are their skills? So I think that's, one kind of group of questions, and we've done a lot of work in our developing on that. I think where I'll focus, just because, it's maybe a little bit broader, is just how to think about the usage of AI in hiring and in interviewing all up, right? So I think we have a couple, thoughts on this. I do think there has to be some real consideration on generative AI is really good at giving an answer to just about any question, but whether it's the right answer, who knows, right? And I think people, you can't outsource your job descriptions entirely or outsource your entire process or engagement with candidates exclusively to AI. I think a business leader who chooses to do that, back to being able to get the best talent, will put themselves at a kind of a disadvantage. That said, mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of applications in recruiting to have AI-assisted development to make your recruiters just more productive, to make your interviews more productive, to make your candidates feel like they're getting a more personalized experience. And so that's at a macro what I would push business leaders to think about, which is, this is not a way as a CEO to be like, oh, I don't need a recruiting team anymore, right? Or I don't need X, right? It's, oh, actually, maybe I don't have to hire 10 recruiters. I could hire 8, but like those 8 are going to be killer and they're going to be awesome and they're going to be assisted, right? So looking at tools in the market that position themselves, I think, as human plus tech is still really important, because, frankly, hiring is a human sport, right? If you are hiring folks that are, especially for software engineers, they're not just going to come and join it. You've got to sell them. They're not going to just come and join your company through some complete asynchronous, impersonal, AI-assisted experience, right? These are people that have a choice. Remember back to there being a multi-decade shortage of engineers. These folks can literally go work with anybody, anywhere, at any time. And so the hiring process needs to have a human plus AI or human plus tech approach. That is very much Carrot's philosophy. But beyond Carrot, I actually think more broadly, we're seeing that focus at tech companies at large. I think, two, there has to be some consideration around the biases and pitfalls of AI. We were talking about this earlier, but AI can actually reinforce pre-existing notions or data sets of what good looks like, what quality is, what good schools are, where people that you want to work with, what kind of pedigree they have. And so I think for business leaders or recruiting leaders listening in on this, there has to be some real thoughtfulness or consideration around, okay, am I using the AI and the tools in the right way? But look, I can think about 10 different activities right now where AI could very much assist recruiting, right? From writing those early templates of job descriptions, figuring out how to create good interview questions, to scoring, to personalizing an experience. Like, there's a lot of applications there. Certainly at Carrot, you know, we have a human plus tech approach, and we've got a very large data set of interviews that actually enable us to build off of that with our own models and to work towards a world where we can actually personalize that interview experience for every candidate. So that is the future that we're going towards, Jeff, is a world where every candidate, again, back to candidates feeling like customers. Those AI has not changed the basic premises of candidates are still customers, right? Mm-hmm. Talent is still your lifeblood, and right. People can go work anywhere, anytime, right? So those three things are all true. But I think where AI comes in is it helps just give yourself a competitive advantage in playing on that field. And we're designing all of our products, all of our things with that kind of mindset. And so we are looking at experiences and products that really, again, augment and make it an even better experience for candidates that help them show more of their skills in a shorter amount of time. I like to always say the best interview processes are the shortest that actually get the most. People don't wake up in the day saying, I want to go do 10 interviews today. They wake up. If you get the signal value of 10 interviews in one, you would do that, right? Both as a company, as a candidate, that is the future Carrot is building towards, which is we call about maximizing signal per minute. I just think that too many companies run arduous processes that are way too long. I think with the right tech and AI paired with a human, we can really, really truncate that process and make it just a lot more enjoyable, right? That's part of our mission statement, which is to make the hiring process predictive, fair, and enjoyable, which seems kind of, I don't know, crazy when we initially wrote it. People like, mm-hmm. Who the heck would think of an enjoyable hiring process? That's what we're committed to. And so that's what we're seeing.
That's really cool because one of the things that research that is continually talked about is that, quite frankly, if you're a consumer brand, this is especially important, but any brand should be worried about it, that a candidate who goes through the process and who has a poor experience is between 40 and 80% more likely to abandon the brand as a result. So making it an enjoyable, at least neutral, but hopefully enjoyable process will not only distinguish you in terms of your ability to get talent, but it may actually protect some of your revenue stream, both short and long term as a leader. And that's going to be super, super important. And I love that maximizing signal per minute, right? You're thinking differently about how leaders are saying, I'm going to value the time of that candidate, because that candidate, ultimately, the best ones are not going to just give away their time. They're going to see, is there a return on investment and is it worth spending my time? And if you go wasting my time, I'm going to not be interested anymore. You know, that's going to tell me something about your company. So that is very, very heavy stuff. So I'd love to finish up with any, you know, words of advice or thoughts that you have, Mo, for a CEO who's trying to crack the code within their organization. They want to grow their business with people. We talked about a lot of stuff, but what would be the things that maybe they could do tomorrow or within the next week or month that would really differentiate them and be useful for them? Love to get your words of advice for the CEOs listening.
I would personally go do a few things. I would go do stay interviews with all your existing people, which is, you know, going and chatting with your existing folks, especially those that you hold in high regard, and asking them questions like, you know, why do you work at our company? Why? It's a really simple question. What would get you to leave our company? Right? Just knowing that at a high level and being confident enough, which is hard, but vulnerable enough to have that kind of conversation. I think just taking a baseline pulse. I mean, yes, you can do employee surveys. You can do all those things 100%. But I do think that there's some real business value in actual conversations with folks to really understand the pulse of why are people working at your company today and what would get them to leave. That would be my baseline data set. I would go do that tomorrow.
That's awesome.
And then the second thing from there is I would go, you know, if you have an HR leader or a business leader that is hiring, I would just go in and ask questions. What's working? What's not? What are we hearing from candidates? Are we even hearing from candidates? Like, do they give us feedback? Do they not? You know, back to feedback being a gift, like, you know, does that show up for CEOs as well? And then, you know, I think with that baseline of information, you know, I think the third thing would be to do some of the things we've chatted about here, right? Which is ask questions around, you know, are you leveraging AI in the right way? Is your process maximizing signal per minute? Or is it just arduous for the sake of being arduous? Are you getting a consistent result from how you interview and select people, or is it inconsistent? You know, those are the types of things as a CEO that I would look for. So rather than kind of going out, I like to say that, you know, at least for Carrot, we didn't start the company by going out looking for a solution. I went out looking for a problem, right? So I just think trying to really understand the problem and what is happening with the talent you have and the talent you want to have, that's where I would start. Because typically, I think, and I learned this back to Intuit, I learned it from the folks at Intuit, when you deeply understand a customer problem, that's your source of competitive advantage, you know? And I think treat your people as your customers. I don't know, all the folks listening to this call have built businesses for a reason. They're probably pretty good with their customers at some level, right? You got to, that same discipline can apply to people.
Mo, thank you. Wow. This was a powerful session with you today. You know, so let's start with the end first. I love the quote, if you deeply understand your customers' problems, then you're more likely to be more successful as a business. Yeah. The whole concept of falling in love with the problem rather than falling in love with all your answers, right? Yeah. I loved how you talked about great people, great professionals aren't always your best interviewers. You wouldn't give the recruiting team access to just start willy-nilly coding for you, right? And starting to build out your platform. Why would you not allow yourself to be surrounded by people who are professional interviewers who go in and do this day in, day out, who do the majority of the heavy lifting? So maybe only the last mile or so of this journey is handled in final selection by your interview team. I love that. I love how we talk about talent as the lifeblood of the business. And that was really powerful because that really serves as the core foundation of what you said. And then we talked about diversifying your talent portfolio globally. Yeah. That was really powerful. And then even though we have AI as an augment or an assist, hiring is still a human sport. Yeah. And that was a quote that I got from you, hiring as a human sport. And we can't just outsource or give it away as a leader. Actually, the more we own the hiring from a sense of ownership and accountability to be able to make it the best we can, then we get back to the place we talked about where great people start to beget great people. And the more great people you have in, the easier it gets to hire great people into the organization. So really appreciate the time. Mo, any final words to add to all of that?
Well, I just think what a wonderful synopsis there, Jeff. And I just really appreciate you having me. And I hope your audience got some real value from this as well. And I sure did as well. I really enjoyed it.
This is a blast. Well, we got Mo Bandai. He is a phenomenal leader with experience dating back all the way to Microsoft. He's CEO of Carrot, the world's largest interviewing platform, and an innovator within the cloud interviewing space. I'm just so glad to have had you on the show today. Want to say thank you to all our audience for watching another great episode of Growing Your Business with People, a podcast dedicated to business leaders who want to invest in the biggest and most important thing that they have within their portfolio, which is people.
That wraps up this episode of Growing Your Business with People. I'm your producer, Madison, and we hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please feel free to leave a comment, like this video, and subscribe to our channel so you never miss out on the latest uploads. For more information about this episode or any of our previous episodes, please visit our website, growingyourbusinesswithpeople.com, or follow us on social media for access to bonus content. We'll leave links in the description below. We hope you join us for the next one.